In the fourth Aliyah of Parshas Vayichi, Yaakov gathers his sons and prepares to give them their brachos. The pasuk tells us, "Vayikra Yaakov el banav, vayomer heosfu vagidol achem eis asher yikra eschem ba'acharis hayamim." Apparently, he wants to tell them what will happen in the days to come. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Adaf Nun Vav Lamed Aleph, tells us what actually occurred at that point. That apparently Yaakov was ready to reveal to them the case, the future, and the knowledge disappeared from him at that time. And he was worried that perhaps the reason for that was that there was something unworthy in his children. And in order to reassure him, they said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to convey the message that you, Yisrael, should understand that Kishem She'en B'libacha Ela Echad, Kach Ein B'libeinu Ela Echad. Just as in your heart there is only one God, so too that is the case for us. He is relieved and he responds, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Vayet. The Gemara tells us that Chazal weren't sure how to handle this phrase of Baruch Shem. On the one hand, Moshe didn't say it. This is not recorded together with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad in Sefer Dvarim. And here, Yaakov did say it. So how should it be incorporated into our Kriya Shema? And the conclusion in the Gemara is that we should recite it in a whisper, which is indeed what we do. The Maharam Shik, in his collected comments on HaTorah, explains this in a number of ways, at least four different ways. In the Sefer, just to mention one of them, he suggests that this statement of Baruch Hashem Kvod Malchuso represents Yaakov's appreciation and awareness that even at this moment of death, he's not afraid, because his awareness of Hashem's everlasting glory reassures him that Hashem's creation is good eternally. And the rabbis were unsure whether that should be included in Kriya Shema, because Moshe had left it out, because the Torah is a book of mitzvos to be observed in and of themselves, and is not about the promise of eternal protection. But the rabbis also realized that people need the encouragement, and therefore they instituted that it should be recited quietly. In the Targum Yerushalmi, he has the phrase, Yehesh Merabah Mevorach, apparently understanding that Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso and Yehesh Merabah Mevorach are the same phrase. They convey the same idea. And in the Sefer Shari Ora, he explains that the point here is that Yaakov was worried that his grandchildren wouldn't be able to continue their faith in times of darkness. So he didn't want to talk about the difficulties in the future. So he emphasizes La'olam Vayed in all circumstances. And this idea, which is also represented by the phrase Yehesh Merabah Mevorach La'olam Vayed, is a powerful statement of Amuna, and that's the reason that Chazal say that one who declares that phrase out loud has all of his bad gezeros ripped up. And presumably this is emphasized in the context of Kaddish, because that is when it is said out loud. So to return to Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vayed, and the fact that we insert it into Kriya Shema quietly as a resolution to this question of how should it be handled, the Maharsha explains what the concern was. Given that Moshe did not recite this, to include it in our Kriya Shema might be seen as a insult against Moshe. So therefore, we say it quietly, so it shouldn't be perceived that way. The Tzlach, however, the Nod Bihuda, in his commentary to the Gemara, understands it in more of a halachic sense, that the concern is that perhaps Baruch Shem will constitute the hefsek in between Shema and the Ahavta, a place where indeed we're not allowed to have a hefsek. And apparently the Tzlach's understanding is that when something is recited in a whisper, which creates a clear indication that it's meant to be different, that doesn't constitute a hefsek. The Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating explanation of another halacha based on this whole interaction here, that there is a practice among the Ashkenazim to recite two brachos on tefillin, the bracha of Lahaniach before the Shel Yad, and the bracha of Al Mitzvah's tefillin before the Shel Rosh. And following the second bracha, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Shalom Vayed is recited. And the common explanation for that is that there is a machlokis among the Rishonim as to whether both brachos should indeed be recited. The practice among the Sfardim is mostly to follow the other view in Rishonim, that under normal circumstances only the first bracha is recited. So some of the commentaries explain that because of the question of whether the second bracha is required, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed to neutralize any potential unwarranted bracha, as is often the case, that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vayed is utilized for that purpose. The Aruch HaShulchan questions that explanation because it's indeed very unusual. Normally, when we have a suffix about a bracha, our rule is that suffix brachos lahakel, we don't say the bracha in the first place. It's very unusual that if we are not sure about a bracha, that we should recite it and then neutralize the possible problem by saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso afterwards. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests his own very innovative explanation, where he puts forward that perhaps the two brachos are really two types of brachos, like we sometimes find by other mitzvos, such as bris milah. One bracha is on the mitzvah, and another bracha is a bracha of praise, in this case on the relationship that it represents between the Jewish people and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We know that the Gemara says that just as we wear tefillin that contain the parshios of Shema, so too a Kodesh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin that contains the phrase Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So to that extent, the tefillin represent a particular bond between God and the Jewish people, and we highlight that bond by praising God with this additional bracha, and we incorporate together with that bracha Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vayed, because that is what Yaakov responded to the phrase of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that highlights the special relationship between God and the Jewish people. A fascinating interpretation, different than the classical explanation of why this is recited, and quite fascinating. As far as the impact of incorporating Baruch Shem into Kriya Shema, the Poskim discussed the question of whether it then becomes an integral part of Kriya Shema. There is a tshuva about this in the Tshuvas Leib Avram of Rabbi Avram Weinfeld, where he clarifies that it can only be integrated in an absolute sense on a level midrabanan, since this pasuk doesn't appear in the text of the Chumash. However, it could be that indeed we have an idea sometimes that Chazal are able to adapt a mitzvah in such a way that it then becomes crucial to the mitzvah even on the level of min ha-Torah, and perhaps that is indeed the case. The Magen Avraham quotes opinions that one who leaves out Baruch Shem doesn't have to repeat Kriya Shema, but he ends up siding with the view of the Levush that indeed one does have to repeat Kriya Shema if one leaves out Baruch Shem, and apparently it is integrated into the Kriya Shema on such a level. Throughout the rest of this Aliyah, Yaakov proceeds to give individualized brachos to the sons and comments along the way. And one remark that he makes to Shimon and Levi is he says, Arur Apam, he curses their anger, not them, but the anger. And the Malbim explains that anger is a dangerous force. It has the ability to take over a person, and therefore, even when it's appropriate, we have to recognize the danger that it poses, and that's what's conveyed here by cursing the anger specifically, the way that Chazal write that one who allows himself to be overtaken by anger is compared to one who worships idols. And the explanation is often given that just like Avodah Zarah is allowing one to be controlled by alien forces, so too giving oneself over to anger is similarly allowing oneself to be taken over by outside forces, and that's the power of Kas. And perhaps that's what's being conveyed here with this phrase, Arur Apam. The Aliyah ends with the well-known pasuk, L'shuascha kivisi Hashem. And Yaakov says that I await God's deliverance, his redemption. And there are many perushim as to what that is supposed to convey. Most understand that Yaakov is expressing either a hodah or a tefillah here. And the Zohar has a comment, ha'kol b'kivoy, that everything is based on this anticipation. And this is a reflection of the concept of his'orus latata, that there must be an awakening from us that we wish to turn to God. And the Nesiva Shalom, the Son of a Rebbe, comments about this, that there is a bracketing here in this Aliyah, that at the beginning we find that Yaakov lost his Nevuah, as we commented, because he wanted to reveal the Ketz, and that's considered inappropriate. We have a prohibition of trying to ascertain the Ketz, and there is a discussion why that is. Some understand that if we tell when the redemption is supposed to happen, and that time passes, and it doesn't occur, then people will lose their faith. The Rambam, the Perush Mishnayos, explains in the other direction that people will give up hope of it happening any earlier. So here, by emphasizing that Yaakov is saying he's constantly ready for it, so this offsets whatever was missing in the beginning of the Aliyah, that inappropriate desire to reveal the Ketz. Here that's counteracted by this expression that he's always ready for it to come at any time, and that corrects what was inappropriate at the beginning of the Aliyah. And his Nevuah is restored.